Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The timing of the rapture for Christians will depend upon their growth and maturity. Revelation chapter 14 likens the different stages of the rapture of Christians to the harvest of a wheat field in its different stages. On today's life study of Revelation, our topic is growth to prepare for rapture. And with me to discuss it with you is Dick Taylor. Dick, welcome back from all your travels. It's been a long time.
It sure has. Thanks, Chris. I'd just like to say Jesus is Lord in Indonesia, Jesus is Lord in West Africa, and Jesus is Lord in the Ukraine.
Amen. And he's Lord right here, Dick.
Amen. Southern California.
Well, Dick, let's get into our program. It's unique today because we're going to review this graphic picture of the different stages of rapture in Revelation chapter 14. We're going to go to the end of chapter 14 and see the great winepress of God for the unbelievers at the Battle of Armageddon. So we have a rapture likened to a harvest and God's judgment likened to the great winepress, Dick. In previous programs, we've talked about how the majority of the believers, or the main harvest, will be raptured at the end of the Great Tribulation, and that the first fruits, or the overcomers, raptured at the beginning of the tribulation based upon their earlier ripening. So let's join Witness Lee right now for a very short segment from his speaking in 1976. We'll use that to begin our fellowship about the reaping of the harvest. Really, as believers, we want to focus today on the harvest. Here's Witness Lee.
Before the reaping, there has been the ripeness of the first fruit. In the type, in the Old Testament, you can see the first fruit firstly reaped and brought into the temple of God for God's enjoyment. Amen. Then after a while, the time of harvest came. Then the field will all be reaped. And this rapture is prophesied, is clearly mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But here in chapter 14, you do have one chapter that covers both of these two kinds of raptures. Number one, the rapture of the first fruit, and the rapture of the harvest. By the picture of typology, this is depicted very, very clearly.
Well, Dick, as he just said, by the picture of typology, these two raptures are depicted very clearly. And the rate of growth or ripening or maturity seems to be the emphasis here. What a motivation for us to grow in Christ today, Dick.
It's really true, Chris, and I like the word you used, motivation. First of all, we see the rapture or the harvesting of the first fruits. And I just appreciate the first fruits, Chris, are the lovers of Jesus. I was appreciating Revelation 2:4. The Lord told the church in Ephesus, I have one thing against you, you've left your first love. And if you who are listening have a recovery version of the New Testament, I hope you would look up that verse and look at the footnote. In the footnote, it mentions there's one sentence that says, nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord. The secret to ripening is really the matter of love. Reaping depends on the ripeness, so we want to be those who ripen early. And so, like you said, Chris, the word motivation, what a motivation. The highest motivation should be to ripen early, and not even just for our satisfaction, but we ripen early as first fruits to satisfy Him. The first fruits are taken right to God Himself. And God is wanting to reap a crop of Christ. We're here with Christ as the seed of life sown in us. We just want to be those who give Him the ground to grow and to ripen as much as possible and as quickly as possible. There's the other harvest, not of the first fruits, but of the general harvest. And in this message, we are encouraged by our brother Lee, do not wait for the harvest. Do not foolishly refuse to love the Lord. I like this sentence. Because to be ripe as the harvest, to be reaped in a general way, will be near the end of the Great Tribulation. That period of time will be a scorching sun to make this crop ripe. You know, as long as the crop is still green, it's not ripe. That wheat needs dried out. If you do not ripen early as the first fruit, you'll be left to ripen in the scorching, parching, suffering sun of the Great Tribulation. None of us want to be in that Great Tribulation. So may we all be highly motivated to be raptured as the first fruits. That is to be those who ripen first. I hope all who are listening would turn their heart freshly to the Lord, including you and I, Chris, and we would freshly fall in love with the Lord, give Him our first love, our best love, to let Him saturate us and soak us with Himself, that we might be first fruits to God and to the Lamb. We would be even worthy of Him purchasing us off the earth because we're soaked with Christ. God just wants to reap a crop of Christ growing in His people. May we be such a crop even as the first fruits. So we do have, yes, these two reapings, the first fruits and the harvest, these two raptures. But I hope by this message we would all be highly motivated to be raptured as the first fruits.
Dick, we had a caller, just today. We had some programs not too long back where we spent a lot of time going through this matter of more than one rapture and based upon the believer's maturity or ripeness, as is the better analogy using the term harvest. And a caller today called and just expressed absolute delight at hearing this because for him, as he said, he'd been studying Revelation for years. But had never heard this interpretation, never heard this kind of speaking related to the matter of rapture. And he said lights were just going on and he was seeing answers to so many of his questions that had plagued him for years.
Wonderful.
We just mentioned that because we're not going to go into a lot of detail today documenting, as we did in prior messages, this matter of multiple or dual rapture,
right,
depending on readiness. But the motivation factor is clearly here. As he has sown himself into us, and now is raising, I like what you said, this crop of Christ. We want to be those who are ready for this rapture early.
That's right. So let's ripen early.
Well, Dick, we want to go on now and look at this main harvest as you described, those who are left to experience some of the scorching. Gleanings is a term that's used both in the Bible and among farmers who work with wheat. Of course, gleanings are those that remain, as you said, stay green too long. If we look in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22, it says, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not completely reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am Jehovah your God." Dick, let's join Witness Lee to hear more about the gleanings.
By the time in chapter 16, at the seventh bowl, that was after the harvest. In chapter 16, the Lord still sends the warning. "Behold, I come. Keep your garment." This proves what? This proves by this time there will be still some believers left on this earth. This I call not the first fruit, not the harvest, but the gleaning. If you read the type in Leviticus, you have the three things: the first fruit, the harvest, and small quantity of the crop will be left at the corners. Even the harvest is over, but those little crops at the corners are still so little, so green. They still need to remain there to be ripe. And this will be the gleanings. The harvest is raptured in chapter 14. Then in chapter 16, that will be after the harvest. The seven bowls will be poured out, mainly upon the kingdom of Antichrist. Right at the sixth bowl, the Lord warns, "Be watchful. Be watchful. Keep your garment." Could you see this? And this proves what? This proves even after the harvest, some believers will still be left on this earth. Who will be these ones? These ones will be all the time growing at the corner. Some Christians will be the first fruit, and the majority will be the harvest. A little number will be the gleanings.
Dick, actually three sections to this harvest are being described. There will be a little number among those called gleanings who are on the fringes or in the corner of God's field. According to Revelation 16:15, these believers are still on the earth after the harvest of the majority of the believers, because the Lord issues the warning that he referred to in verse 15. Let me read that. It says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, that he may not walk naked and they see his shame." Dick, say a little bit about these gleanings.
The main thing I'd like to say about these gleanings, Chris, is let's not be part of them, because they are those who are reaped after the general harvest. As we began this program, we were all highly motivated to be part of the first fruits. Actually, our prayer should be, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me that I'd be part of the first fruits, that I'd be an overcomer to satisfy you. I appreciate something our brother said. By his grace, we must come forward to be part of the first fruits. So concerning the gleanings, I don't want to be part of that. I hope that everyone who's listening would not be part, but everybody who hears this ministry and the words of this ministry would be highly motivated to be saturated and soaked with Christ, to ripen early, to be part of the first fruits. Yet we still need to say something about the gleanings. And I like this verse that you spoke, Chris, where it says, "Behold, I come as a thief." Even the ones in the corners, those on the fringes, still the Lord wants them to become precious. A thief doesn't steal anything that's junk.
Right.
So this just means the believers who are left here and who've passed through the great tribulation just prior to the war at Armageddon, they're still needing to ripen, and their being ripened makes them precious, so the Lord, as a thief, can take them off of this earth prior to the battle at Armageddon. I can't say I fully understand this, but I can say that I certainly don't want to be part of the gleanings. And I hope everyone who's listening would be highly motivated not to be part of the gleanings, nor part of the general rapture, but to be a lover, giving the Lord preeminence in your life, many times a day, even speaking, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Saturate me with yourself," so that we would really be constituted with Christ, we'd be fully ripened, and we could be received and taken off of this earth, raptured right to God himself, saturated with Christ to be God's satisfaction as the first fruits. I hope this would motivate us even to hear about the gleanings.
Dick, I spent most of my life actually in wheat country in the Northwest. Of course, with modern techniques, things have changed. But when you get into the history of how wheat was always harvested, because the growing season there is fairly short, the summers are very hot, but they don't last long. The historical practice was for those portions of the field that were too close to the water supply, too close to the springs, where the green wheat would stay and linger past the time when most of the field was ready to be harvested, the farmer would just do a simple thing. He simply would go out there with a sickle and cut it when it's still green, and then leave it in the hot summer sun, and it would ripen in just a few short days. That's a pretty good analogy to the picture we're seeing here, isn't it?
Very good analogy. And we don't want to be those who are left in the hot summer sun. That's the great tribulation. May we get out of here to be with our Lord for his satisfaction.
Well, Dick, we want to turn our attention now to another group of people, and that is the unbelievers, whom the Lord will judge at this battle of Armageddon that takes place very shortly after what we have just been speaking about. In Revelation 14, these unbelievers are symbolized not by wheat, but by grapes full of water of the earth, which is the opposite of how wheat ripens. Wheat ripens by being emptied of its earthly water, whereas grapes ripen by becoming more full and more saturated with the water of the earth. I think we're going to see another application to our experience now. Let's join Witness Lee once again.
Our God, in his divine word, is always so wise. He uses the fig tree to symbolize the nation of Israel. God's wisdom uses wheat to indicate the Christians or the church. Then the unbelievers in the Bible is likened as what? Likened as vine grapes. For the wheat to be ripe, it has to be dried up. All the earthly water has to be dried off. For the grape to be ripe, it has to be filled with water. Just vice versa. Now, whether you are a wheat or you are a vine grape, it depends upon, do you like to dry it up or do you like to fill it up with earth water? Now, after the reaping of all the believers as the wheat, then who will be left there? The unbelievers, who are in the eyes of God likened like grapes. And here it says, all the grapes are ripe, full of earthly water. Now is the time to reap the grapes. At what time? At the end of the great tribulation. This reaping will be in Armageddon. When the war at Armageddon will come, the Lord just collected all the forces there. The Lord likened these like what? Like the gathering of the ripened grapes into one valley. And that one valley will become a great wine press. When all the worldly armies will be gathered there, the Lord said, this is the time for me to try the wine press. That shall be the judgment the Lord Jesus will exercise upon Antichrist and all his forces. All the armies will be there, from the north, from the east, from the west, just like the ripened grapes, all gathered into one wine press. This is the clear word in the prophecy. This war, or this trading of the wine press, will close the tribulation. And it will also close this age.
Whoa, Dick, this is a sobering word. There's a note, a footnote by Witness Lee that I'd like to read, if I could, about the ripening of the grapes and the wheat. This contrast is too graphic, I think. It really illustrates this point. The footnote is from Revelation chapter 14 and verse 18. For those of you listening who have a recovery version, again, chapter 14, verse 18, the footnote says, in the Bible, the Jews are likened to the fig tree. The believers are likened to wheat, and the wicked Gentiles are likened to the grapevine, which is a counterfeit of the true vine composed of Christ and his members. The wheat is ripe when its water content is dried up, whereas the grapes are ripe when the water has filled them up. Fully ripened indicates that the Gentiles, as the grapevine, are filled to the brim with their sin, and that the time of their judgment has come. Dick, say something to all of us, really, about this contrast between ripening grapes being filled to the brim with their sin, the water of the earth, and the wheat that ripens by being dry from the water of the earth.
Yeah, this is a marvelous contrast, Chris. To be ripe related to the wheat means to be dried out. To be ripe related to the grapes means to be filled up with water. And the water here really signifies the earthly water, the things that fill us and saturate us other than Christ himself. So to be the wheat that is dried out, that is ripened, ready for God's satisfaction to be reaped from this earth, this ripened crop is a crop that does not love this world, but really loves the Lord Jesus with the first love. I like what our brother Lee says. He said, to put it simply, if today you do not give up the world and live for Christ, Christ will leave you on earth to pass through the great tribulation. And what's that for? That's to dry you out so that you will be ripe. Well, we want to cooperate with the Lord by enjoying Him day by day, giving Him room in our heart, so that all the earthly waters are removed from us and we're saturated, permeated, and soaked with Christ, even constituted with Him. Again, the secret to being the wheat that is ripened is to be the believers who are really in love with the Lord in a fresh, intimate way day by day. I like an old hymn. The oldest hymn I think we have in our hymn book is, "Whatever you love, man, you will become. You love dust, you become dust. You love God, you become God." That's not to be worshiped, but you get constituted with Him because you love Him. And then in the same hymn, it says, "To become those who are really valuable to God, love takes the shortest route." Just to be filled with head knowledge won't do it. We must enjoy Christ in the first and best love. So we want to be those who get saturated with Him by loving Him. Nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with Him. Remember, the only thing valuable to God is Christ. So we want to be soaked, saturated, and permeated with Him so that we could be purchased off this earth as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. I was thinking of two verses, Chris. One is 1 John 2:14. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, you'll be filled with the earthly waters, and you become a big grape full of the earthly waters, but the only thing you're good for is the winepress of God's wrath. On the other hand, if you're a lover of Christ, not loving the world, you become somebody who's ripened, that is, the wheat that's dried out, ready to be harvested for God's satisfaction. Another precious verse is James 4:4, which says, "If you love the world, you take your stand or are constituted an enemy of God." That means you just get filled up with the world. You love everything but Christ. You just become like a big grape full of the earthly waters, and the only thing that grape is good for is the wrath of God in the great winepress, which is Armageddon. So may we be those who are highly motivated, freshly motivated, to love the Lord with the first love. Lord Jesus, constitute us with yourself that we could be first fruits to you for your satisfaction.
Dick, we've given many messages now and had many programs dealing with some of these topics, particularly since we've come to these books, Matthew and Revelation. The rapture is not all at once, where all of God's people are taken in a safe way from any suffering that is going to come upon the inhabitants of the earth. The verses are just too clear. We realize this is not common, and it's also not popular. It's much easier to get on and say, you know, it's all wonderful, we're all okay, because we're all saved, we'll all be spared. It's just the problem we have. That's not how the Bible reveals it. Of course, in one sense, we are all okay. We are all spared eternally. Our salvation is secure. We will ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
For eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But between now and when eternity begins,
amen,
there are some consequences to how we live our life, and that's what we're aimed at. We hope this matter touches you in your heart and registers with you in your spirit as the word of truth and light, and we just commit it to the Lord. That's all we can do. We're not here to try to be the most popular program on the radio, but really to speak to those who have a heart to follow our dear and lovely Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dick. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, Brother Chris.
Please join us again as we conclude another week of programs on the life study of Revelation. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.